This is home. This is home.
Yes, Lord.
This is home.
You belong here.
Yes, Lord.
You belong here. Make yourself at home.
Yes, Lord.
You belong here. Make yourself at home.
Yes, Lord.
You belong here. Make yourself at home.
Yes, Lord.
Right, HCC, how you doing? Man, so good to get to be with you today. I'm so glad to be back. I want to thank Pastor Kurt. Great message a couple weeks ago talking about what happens when we have conflict and need discipline in a church family. And then last week, the leads did a great job, a live service. And you guys engaged in baptism, communion, just a really rich thing all the way around. So I want to welcome you guys here at Victorville today. I want to welcome you joining us at Apple Valley. Big hey to you today out at Hesperia. I know at Hesperia, you guys couldn't get enough of baptism, so you're doing them week two today as well. So we're excited for that. And you taking those steps of making your faith public. So what a good thing. But I'm glad to be back with you. We're going to continue in our church family just focus this fall and what we're going to look into. Before I do that, I want to give you a couple updates about some things that are going on. One is where we've been. And the other is where we're going. We've just started a rhythm in the last, this is year two now, of putting together an annual report. And I just want you to know the background of that. We believe it's worth celebrating what God has done among us. It's not a, hey, we're doing awesome. It's, yay, God, look what you're doing in our ranks. Last year, we had a newspaper that kind of folded out. This year, we have this great booklet. You're going to want to get one of these at all campuses after the service today, whether it be in a lobby or out on a patio. We're going to have one for each and every one of you. And what you're going to love about this, I find that some people are very stat-driven. Numbers really speak to you. And then other people are more stories-driven. Last year's annual report was lots of numbers with a couple stories. This has mostly stories with some great stats as well. So you're going to love that. 9 different sketches of what God is doing in people's lives at HCC as we continue to strive to do what we're here to do, preparing generations of world changers. So I want to encourage you on the way out today, make sure you grab one of those and look over it this week. Now that relates to where we've been. This is where we're going. Look in your notes today. You have this insert related to this great news. 2 weeks ago, we gathered and our members voted 98% yes to move forward with our Apple Valley campus purchase. And we're so grateful for that. It was a great celebration in this room. Yeah, we can thank God for that. And so we're kind of at that third phase now. Remember when we started talking about this earlier in the fall, the word was to pray. Pray for God's direction, pray for God's timing. The second word was vote. We did that a couple weeks ago. And the third word is give. Because the reality is this, as we anticipate being able to move into this property, there not only is a purchase price, but there's renovations that need to be done. So what this is, when you look at this, this is actually going to send you to our website. You'll know at the bottom, AV Home, just all one word. If you'll text that to our number, 64567, it'll take you to HCC's webpage that has all things about our campus. And you'll see videos that kind of give the storyline. You'll see a place where you can give. Even if you scroll to the very bottom, we're doing tours that I think are a really great way to have some on-site with insight and get a vision for what God could do at this new property with our Apple Valley church family. So we're excited for it. This financial campaign that we're beginning, A Home to Call Our Own, the goal is to raise $2 million in 12 months. $2 million in 12 months. And here's the wild thing about that, that as we're able to do that between our designated accounts and some savings, between the selling of our property we currently own in Apple Valley, that's just dirt that we're going to apply that money to this purchase. And then finally, this financial campaign, those combined together, if all goes as we're expecting, we will be completely debt-free on this project by this time next year. That's really cool. That's great news. So we're excited for it. So would you prayerfully consider an above and beyond gift or giving to that fund so we can get that fully done and be able to just be excited what God's going to do in that part of our valley. All right, so a couple infomercials. Let's kind of dive in. As I was thinking about today, it reminded me of experiences that you and I have had before, or at least the perception of what you might think of today's message. And it relates to, like, maybe you signed up your child to be involved in a local sports league here in the valley, in the desert. And when you did, you were excited they were going to have a chance to play, but then they quickly asked you to coach that kid's team. And you're like, whoa. Or maybe at your kid's school, they're having a fundraiser to get better playground equipment, which is great. And you don't even mind giving, but they asked you to help make that happen. Or you live in an HOA and you love living in this community, but the expectation is that you would come out and pick up trash 3 or 4 times a year. And you're going, whoa. And on all these fronts, you're going, I like being involved in these groups or organizations. I just don't want to be that involved, right? I wanted a place where my kid can play on a team with other children, but I didn't expect a new requirement on my schedule to coach. Or I love that our kid's school's going to have more equipment. I'll gladly give to it, but I want to help get other parents involved. Or, you know what, this idea of going, we have a great neighborhood, but I don't want to get out and pick up other people's trash to keep it that way. I like being involved in these organizations, just not that involved. And I think back to what we've been doing, what has been our focus of the fall. We stated it right out of the gate 8 weeks ago. And our goal was to move people in their commitment and connection to High Desert Church, to move from it being more like an attender or a guest to that really a part of our family. And so with that, we've asked multiple times, we've communicated expectations, things like finding a group to belong to, having a group of people that are your people in a growth group, or making financial giving part of the rhythm of your life of stewardship. Or understanding what your gifts are and putting those into motion, making every effort to maintain the unity of the Spirit that God has already given us, or making your faith public by going into the waters of baptism. We have laid out a lot of expectations for you to step closer to a greater commitment and connection to High Desert Church. And for some, you might be feeling a lot like you did when you were that parent asked to coach your kid's team. Man, I like being involved at HDC, just not that involved. And I get that. I get that, especially when there's so many other demands on your life. But I want to say this out of the gate today, that when we talk about being more connected, more committed to a local church, That the reality is that ask, that invitation, those expectations are built on a premise that is actually lasting in this life and beyond. And there are things that actually all the different requirements or expectations you might have on your life, they don't have the same value. Being connected as a child of God to brothers and sisters in a local church is exponentially more important than a lot of the other pulls that you have in your life. In your notes, maybe see it this way out of the gate today, if Todd's notes would actually work. And why don't you just tell me what it says? Take a look up there. There we go. HDC is not an organization asking for more. We're a family inviting you into mission. HDC is not an organization asking you for more. We're a family inviting you into mission. And so as we look at this today and outline, what does that look like to be more connected, more committed? My hope is that you'll be discerning it through the lens. This isn't like being asked to coach a youth team or get involved in a school fundraiser. These are lasting, meaningful, significant areas of being more involved. And so I'm excited to lay that out. You have your notes out. Would you get your Bible open? We're going to be in Acts chapter 2. Acts is the fifth book in the New Testament, comes right after the Gospels. And if you make your way to chapter 2, as you're doing that, let me remind you what has been our focus. Our focus has been an understanding of the nature of Jesus's church, that he's created a community of brothers and sisters who are called to mutual dependence, that we rely upon God and we rely upon each other as his people to be those who would care for one another, as well as those who are looking into our world, looking into our worlds in our oikos relationships to be on mission and to continue to bring this great news of the gospel that has so radically transformed our lives to the lives of the people we do life with. So this family on mission is a great way to describe what we're about. What was Jesus's intended purpose for his church? And the reality is that we're quick to welcome, we're quick to include people into this family because we know the basis for our inclusion into the family of God isn't based on how religious we are. It's not based on how moral we are. It's based on Jesus's accomplished work at the cross. And that shed blood applies to us. It applies to everyone around us as they respond to the invitation in the gospel. So we are quick to welcome you in because we realize that's the only basis we have. That's where our identity is found in Jesus's accomplished work at the cross and the empty tomb. So let's dive in today as we talk about what it looks like to become more connected, more committed to High Desert Church. In your notes, number one, belonging to a church family begins with being present. Belonging to a church family begins with being present. You gotta be invested and be involved. We pick it up in Acts chapter 2, verse 42. They, being this brand new group of the earliest of all churches, they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe at the many wonders and signs performed by the apostles. All the believers were together and had everything in common. They sold property and possessions to give to anyone who had need. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. We're going to look today at a few foundational, fundamental passages in the New Testament that describe the behaviors, describe what it means to be present and participating with other brothers and sisters in this thing that Jesus called his church. And so as we dive in today, this first passage is powerful. This is literally the earliest church, meaning if you back it up into Acts chapter 2, it's at a Jewish festival called Passover, where Jewish people from literally all over the world would assemble in Jerusalem. And these 120 disciples, followers of Jesus, the 12, and then a radiated group of others, they were praying in this room, and the Holy Spirit descends upon them, and they begin to preach the gospel in all these native tongues of people who had been gathered. Chapter 2 leans into Peter giving this amazing message about who Jesus was as the long-awaited Messiah. He calls people to repentance and baptism, and 3,000 people had come into the family of God on that day alone. And so it's that group, as we move through chapter 2, that's the they. And imagine the things, you noted what they said that were priorities to them, what they were devoted to, the teaching of the apostles. Imagine you're in this group in the temple courts and Matthew gets up to share and he talks about the time that they were in the boat and they totally thought they were gonna drown and they see Jesus walking on the water. This is firsthand people who were with Jesus for 3+ years. They're the ones teaching this new group of Jesus followers. Just imagine what that was like. And within the teaching, also things that they made a priority. They were prioritized being together. They prioritized eating meals together. They prioritized praying together. But they saw God at work among them and gave him the credit for it. And they continued to meet, not just in the temple courts, but in homes. And truly developed this camaraderie, this connection, this fellowship that they'd never had before. All that is going on. Acts 2 is this powerful descriptive passage of saying this is what the early church, the earliest of the church was like. When people had need, they were selling things to be able to meet needs within this group. This is amazing. But can I tell you, this is Acts chapter 2. By the time we get to Acts chapter 8, the church gets dispersed all over the literal world because Stephen, a deacon in this earliest church, he is killed for his faith, and all the Christians are expelled from Jerusalem. So this is a season of what the earliest kind of church was like. And as you process that, as you think about the kind of connections and the kind of commitment that they had to one another, notice two phrases that are of significance that we read. It said, and all the believers were together, or every day they continued to meet together. This wasn't a wandering group of nomads. This group of people were connected to one another and demonstrated by their commitment to keep being present. Let's say that there was a lady in this group, we'll name her Sylvia, first century, earliest of the church member. And Sylvia was there, and she was there on the day of Pentecost and saw people come to Christ. She herself put her faith in Christ that day. And she is just loving the connections and the growth and seeing God at work among them at first. But the things in her life change, and she gets busy, and she's only able to attend when it was daily. Now it becomes weekly and then monthly. And when she comes and joins this group of Jesus followers, she's welcomed. She's not treated harshly or poorly, but when she's welcomed in, she quickly realizes that so much has gone on since she was there last. The way that God has been working in lives, new people coming to faith, shared experiences and relational equity, she doesn't have it. And even though this is her family, she feels like a guest because she just hasn't had all these shared experiences. That easily could have happened in the first century. Now think of the 21st century. Think about here at High Desert Church and Pete, right? Pete's a guy who got saved here and, man, is loving what God is doing in his life and in the church and sees God alive and on the move. But his life gets busy. And as he continues that connection that was here at a worship service and with his growth group, those become more lean over time. And now it's at best once a month, quote, visit. And he comes back to this church family and he's welcomed and not treated poorly at all. But he realizes all the things he's been missing, all the shared experiences, the relational equity is not there. And again, he feels like a guest at his own church. And hopefully as he walks out on a Sunday morning or walks out from a growth group, he'll be doing the math and realizing, man, it's because I'm not present that I'm not able to enjoy the richness of these relationships and truly feel like I'm connected to a family. Because you can't experience what you don't attend. In your notes, you can't enjoy connections with other brothers and sisters if you're not present with them. You can't enjoy connections with other brothers and sisters if you're not present with them. And you'll note the behaviors, by the way, in Acts 2, some of them happened when they were all together. When they would gather in the temple courts, where they would be under the apostles' teaching, when they would see the favor that they had with the community, when God would continue to add to their number. That happened in that larger environment. But you'll notice their behaviors also had a much smaller application as well. When they would meet in each other's homes and break bread and have meals together, pray for one another, that was happening in these smaller groups. And I just love at HCC, this has been our expectation and also our giving attention to the fact that both of these environments matter. Joining together in corporate worship and being able to be preoccupied with Jesus through song and the teaching of his word, man, doing that on a regular basis is so good for our souls and seeing other people when we're together. But there's also this dynamic of what happens that really can't, we don't practice the one another's on any kind of regularity in this large setting, but that happens in our growth groups. It happens with the people that we're doing life together, where we're learning to forgive one another, learning to serve one another, learning to pray for one another. That all happens in that space. So for decades, HDC has made much of the fact of being involved consistently in a weekend worship service and being connected to other believers in a growth group. Those are both so significant. And if you're here today and you would say, you know, I really haven't taken that step to get involved with a smaller group of people, let me tell you, there is no time like the present to get involved. We are offering another rooted experience, another rooted season coming up in January. And on that, we're going to have expressions for all of our campuses. And what's going to be rich is Rooted is a 10-week experience. It's really not a per se Bible study, but you're experientially being exposed to the rhythms of what the Bible gives of how we follow Jesus more closely. And it's not just for you. You're doing it in community with 10 other people. And this group, we say it from the very beginning, your Rooted group is going to be your growth group. These are the people you start with. These are the people you continue with. So if you are interested in that, in your notes, you'll see it. You can text the word rooted to 64567. You'll get a link back that would sign you up for our January session that's going to begin just in a couple of months and really begin to have that connection to more believers and really have community with each other the way that I believe that God's word intends. All right, in your notes, number two, belonging to a church family includes participation. Not just being present, but actively participating. Belonging to a church family includes participation. We're going to go deeper in your Bible to the book of Hebrews. And in Hebrews chapter 10, this is what it says. Therefore, brothers and sisters, notice the familial language right out of the gate. Since we have confidence to enter the most holy place, how? By the blood of Jesus. By a new and living way opened for us through the curtain, that is his body. And since we have a great high priest over the house of God, since all of these things are true and what Jesus accomplished at the cross and the empty tomb, verse 22, let us draw near to God with a sincere heart and with the full assurance that faith brings, having our hearts sprinkled to cleanse us from a guilty conscience and having our bodies washed with pure water. Verse 23, let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess, for he who promised is faithful. And let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds, not giving up meeting together as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. This is such a great passage. This passage is different than Acts chapter 2 because Acts 2 described what the early church is like. Hebrews chapter 10 encourages us, says, hey, let's engage in this way. And note the premise of why the church can be the church is back to what Jesus has already accomplished. He's using language, by the way, that would have been very understood and common to the Jewish believer who remembered what the sacrificial system was. All that language we read about what allows us to draw near, how Jesus has been that one who has shed his blood, broken his body. He's the great high priest now over this house. All that is language from the Levitical sacrificial system. What's fascinating is, rightfully so, we'll say, Jesus came and completely fulfilled the law. And he did. And when we say that, we generally mean the expectations on humanity that come from Genesis to Deuteronomy. That's consistently referred to from the Old Testament as the Old Testament law. But what's also something that we fail to realize is that within that law, especially in the book of Leviticus, is a sacrificial system that as people, quote, broke the law. The law, we'll find out later in the book of Galatians, was always meant to point out sin for sinful people because we could not attain to it. So when the people of Israel failed, here was the way that they were going to be reconciled to God and reconciled to one another. Well, that's the language here in Hebrews 10. Jesus didn't just perfectly fulfill the law. He perfectly fulfilled the sacrifice that was required, not for his sin, but for the sin of the world, for ours. And so Jesus accomplishes that. And then the author of Hebrews gives three of these let us statements. Let us is a little bit different. I'm not talking about the head of green stuff that you eat in a salad. But the phrase let us is different because it's not an imperative verb. It's not a command that says you will. It's a suggestion. It's a should. Hey, let's go. When you hear that phrase, let's go, that's what you're hearing is a rally cry. You're hearing an invitation to be involved in something. So the author of Hebrews says, because of the accomplished work of Jesus, now let us do these things. Let us first draw near to God with sincere hearts and the full assurance that faith brings. When we read that, and he goes on to talk about the cleansing agent of the gospel, he's actually referring back to one of the prophets, named Ezekiel, Ezekiel chapter 36. I will sprinkle clean water on you and you will be clean. I will cleanse you from all of your impurities and from all of your idols. I love this part. I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit in you. I will remove from you your heart of stone and give you a heart of flesh. So the accomplished work of Jesus has this reactive work in our lives. It cleanses us from sin. Because once, he died once for all. And so that's what the author of Hebrews is leaning into. And now we have access. It would be inappropriate to feel like we can't go to Jesus because of what Jesus has done in our place. The second phrase, let us hold unswervingly to the hope that we profess, for he who promised is faithful. This is powerful in this language. Jackson and I were up last weekend at Hume Lakes Men's Retreat, and one of the things I shared with them has been really important to us, and that we'll talk about often, is that most of the yous in the New Testament letters are not singular. They're not, Paul is not writing to you particularly, he's writing to y'all. Right? And that's that language we've talked a lot about. In our English language, we can't tell the difference between a singular you and a plural you because they're spelled the same. But these are plural yous. The author of Hebrews doesn't even need to do that. He just uses first person plural, let us, including himself, let us go after this. And he says, let us hold unswervingly to the hope that we have. And I think about the power of us. See, remember, when we think about the promises of God, the hope that we have in Christ, we're often thinking of it individually. What does that mean for me? Where is my hope at? And that's not a wrong thing, as long as that's not the whole story. That's part of the story. The us concept means there's something about when we together, when we hold on to the promises of God, when we lock arms and remind ourselves because he who promised is faithful. There's something about no matter how deep the valley you're walking through, when you have brothers and sisters reminding you, remember the God who's faithful. I've had numerous seasons in my life where I look back now and I am so grateful for God's people, brothers and sisters coming alongside of me. And the things that they told me weren't new things. It's not like I didn't know that God is close to the brokenhearted. So it wasn't that I didn't know that Jesus said he'd never leave or forsake us. It's not that I didn't know that I could confess my sins and be forgiven and cleansed of all unrighteousness, but I couldn't see it because the valley was so dark and the challenge is so significant. It was all in my face and I needed brothers and sisters to come by me and just remind me of what I already knew. That's the power of us. And man, if you don't have people, right? That rarely, you can hear the word of God taught on a weekend and that's encouraging, but I just said, let us as a group. And if you don't have people you're doing life with, you go into those valleys and you don't have people coming alongside you saying, hey, but Todd, remember, we're holding tight to the promises of a faithful God. Let me remind you of what he's promised to you. There's power in that intentionally because that's what God designed us for, is to be a family. And look at this last phrase. Let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds, not giving up meeting together as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another. And all the more as you see the day approaching. Man, I love this series, this fall focus has been so good for me on a lot of fronts, but one in particular, I've been reminded, we rightfully so talk about the vertical value of being a child of God, how great it is to know God as Father. But this series has pushed into some spaces that remind us of the horizontal value as well of being in the family of God, of having brothers and sisters that we're able to walk with, to be encouraged and to encourage. And this series has been so good through that lens of recognizing we're there for one another. We're called to be. That phrase, to spur one another on, it means exactly what you think it meant in the first century and means today. Those things you put on cowboy boots and you get on a horse, and when you give it a kick, the horse doesn't go, oh, that's, could you scratch a little closer? The horse is like, ouch, yes, I'm going. And so sometimes our encouragement for one another even has a sharpness to it. And what is it encouraging toward? Love and good deeds. All good things that we would be towards one another. We need that encouragement. I love the word in the English language, encourage. It literally means to give courage. And in times when people are so discouraged, God gives us an amazing ministry opportunity in each other's lives. And we do this as we continue to anticipate the capital D day that is approaching, Jesus's return. Man, we're encouraged even no matter what we're going through. Paul wrote, light and momentary trials as we anticipate something to come that is far worth it compared to anything we face in this life. Those are the things we get to remind each other of when we live in community, when we live as family. As what Jesus intended from the very beginning, not just a vertical relationship, but horizontal as well. I so appreciate it. I think it was back in March, Pastor Jody preached a message when he talked about how a church is not like a hotel, but like a home. And I was thinking about that imagery a little bit this week, getting ready for our time together. And I thought about it through this lens. When you stay at a hotel, nobody expects you to contribute. Beyond what you pay, that's it. They're there to serve you. And think about how weird it would be, right? You go to a hotel that overnight maybe has a breakfast in the morning. You'll find one good thing, you know, and you're like, okay. But imagine when you're done at breakfast, you don't just bust your dishes. You start busting the dishes of all the other tables where all the like lazy guests didn't move their stuff around. And the people who work there are looking at you like, are you trying to take my job? Like, that's what I do. That's my job here this morning. Or you're up at the front desk and you hear a person talking on the phone that they need towels, more towels in room 201. And you kind of sneak around the back, grab some towels, go up the elevator. Hey, and they open the door and you're like, hey, towels. And they look at you like, you're a creepy dude. And they close the door because you're not on the staff. You shouldn't be doing those things. It's weird. If you contribute in those ways when you're a guest at a hotel, can I tell you where it's not weird? When you live in your home. That's a place where it's appropriate and right to have family expectations of family members. You know, it's when your seven-year-old says, you know what, I'm just going to take a lazy day sitting on the couch playing video games, watching TV. I'll ring my bell when I need lunch. That's a seven-year-old who might not make it to eight. Right? That is not how this works. Get up. Get off your can. We got stuff to do. And I think about it even in relationship to my own kids growing up in our home. And I think about when the fact of like when Jackson went away to school, I thought, man, this is going to be different when he comes home. He's not in a rhythm of doing his chores or doing other things. And it's going to feel more like he's a guest, even though we're all still family. He just doesn't live under this roof anymore. And that's exactly what it was like. Jackson, then Aaliyah, then Kendi, then Ellie. And the reality is that's okay. Joanna and I have stepped into those other roles. But I will tell you, when they lived under our roof, there are chores. Each and every kid has chores to do. There's a room that needs to be cleaned up. It's yours. There are different tasks. When we have a family event, we go together. There's a curfew. That's how it works. You're not a guest when you live under the roof. You're a family member who contributes. And so this whole trajectory, we've been talking about how to not feel like you are a guest at your own church, but to feel like family. It happens when you're present and participating. That's when you begin to feel that sense of connection and commitment, because you're showing that with the people that you're doing life with. In your notes, as long as your degree of connection and commitment to HTC resembles how someone would engage with a hotel rather than their home, you won't know and experience what it means to be a part of this church family. As long as your level of engagement is how someone would engage with a hotel or instead of their home, you won't know and experience what it means to be part of this church family. This whole focus for the fall has been shifting away from being an attender to being a family member, from being a guest to being at home. And that's why that's so significant. I said it earlier today. Let me reemphasize. I know there are a lot of voices, a lot of demands on your life. We are way too busy. Can I, quick story, I didn't tell any of the other services this, so it's free for you. At this men's retreat, it was fascinating. Two men that showed up were pastors from Australia that just happened to be vacationing in California, found out about this and came up. And I'll never forget, his name was Ron. Ron and I sat down after one of the sessions and he said, you know, Todd, I've been so encouraged this weekend and I've really enjoyed traveling your country, but can I tell you just an observation from someone from the outside? And I said, oh, I'd love to hear it. He said, it seems as though none of you have space to just be quiet. Every moment there's something clamoring for your attention. He'd gone to a baseball game. He said, even between innings, all the crazy, no one just sits. And I thought, oh, bro, you dialed us in pretty well. In 4 weeks, you got us figured out. And so I know there's a lot of pulls on your life, but I want to tell you this. The goal of today is not to heap more guilt on you that you're not doing enough. The goal today is to evaluate, where are you spending your time and your energy? What are you invested in? And if those things are in the way of you being able to invest in your church's life and family, that's where the evaluation needs to happen. Not adding more to the backpack, taking some things out. Because this is worth it. Not because Todd says so, but because the Word of God says so. And that's something we want to lean into and know that it's always for our best. Finally today, number three in your notes, belonging to HTC's church family expresses itself in partnership. Belonging to HTC's church family expresses itself in partnership. We're gonna see why that's the best word at talking about our relationship to each other. We move to Galatians chapter 6. Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all people, watch this, especially to those who belong, who are part of, who are connected to the family of believers. This idea of being connected, most churches will talk about that nature of relationship like church membership. That's a word that you'll hear often. Note, by the way, that membership to a local church isn't found in Scripture. You won't find it. But I will say this. We just read from the book of Galatians, and when he's talking about the family who belong to the family of God, Galatia was a region, not a city. But Cappadocia was a city within that region. If you were a follower of Jesus in the first century and you lived in Cappadocia, guaranteed you were going to find connection. You were going to be committed to that group because there was no other church option for you. There weren't four Christian churches in town. This is the group of believers. So your membership was kind of inherent because there was nowhere else to go. These are my people. We live in the same community. We're under the same salvation of God. And therefore, we're family. We're going to act like it. That's our problem today. So many churches, so many choices that we often kind of dilute church membership down to mean nothing because it just doesn't really fit us, because I'm going to get probably tired of this place in a while and want to go try something new. That's a foreign concept to the New Testament. The book that we're reading, by the way, as a growth groups in this church-wide focus is called Rediscover Church. Here's a quote from it that just basically gives an overview. What do we mean when we say church membership? It says, church membership is a church's affirmation and oversight of a Christian's profession of faith and discipleship. That someone has made a profession of faith and they want to continue to follow Jesus more closely. Watch this though. Combined with, in addition to, the Christian's submission to the church and its oversight. So what I want you to catch most about that definition is it's a two-way street. Rightfully so. It'd be wrong for church leadership to go, here's all the expectations we have of you. Please don't have any of us. That doesn't make any sense. And conversely, for church attendees, a congregation, a church family to feel like, hey man, these are the things we want you to do as church leaders. We're just not interested in being accountable to anything ourselves. That also doesn't make any sense. So there's a partnership. That's why that word is so important to us. It's a partnership. The problem is when you hear the word membership, you don't have a good category for it because there's no other membership you're a part of that's like a church membership, right? You pay money every month so that you can go to the gym and use their exercise equipment and the expertise of their trainers. You pay money to warehouse stores like Costco and Sam's Club for the great privilege of buying stuff from them. That's the greatest gig ever. Before you ever walk in, pay me first, and then you can pay me at the door. That's awesome. You might pay for a membership with AAA so that when you your car breaks down, they can help you with towing. But another great thing about them is they do DMV services in their office, so you don't have to go to the DMV. How much is that worth? Like a gajillion dollars. So those are things, that's what memberships in our world look like. Imagine if the church membership was like that, if it was more focused on privileges. There would be members-only parking, the very best spots at all three of our campuses. There would be a fast pass for parents where they could go pick up or drop off their kids in front of the line of everyone else because they're a member. There'd be members-only events that are just for us. We had this members-only vote 2 weeks ago, but we made a big deal. Everyone is welcome. So the reality is this church membership doesn't look anything like the other memberships that you have because they're focused on privilege. Instead, we're focused on purpose. Membership and all the other spaces that you're involved in is a focus on privilege. Membership at HGC is all about purpose. In your notes, membership at HGC is partnership. It's a family on mission together. That's our purpose. Membership at HGC is partnership, family on mission together. And so when we talk about what does it look like to be present, what does it look like to participate, I got to tell you, as I was studying and preparing for this message, I just started with that premise. What does it look like to be actively engaged as a brother or sister in a local church? And as I did, I started realizing all the things that we expect, that we invite you into as to be a partner, a member of High Desert Church, are all those things. It was incredibly affirming. I didn't start with, here's our membership covenant. Now let's figure out a message how to do it. I just started studying and realized everything we're calling you to as a member actually are the right things of what it looks like to be present and participating in a local church. Look on your notes on the very back panel. I love that our comm team got this on there. I know the print is small. That's the only way to fit it. But I want you to know this is what we hand out. When you come to a membership class to find out how am I going to be a partner with High Desert Church, at the end you will be given this to say this is the ask, this is the invitation, these are the expectations. And what I absolutely love about this are the two columns. Look at the column on the right. These are expectations we would ask of you. Number one, to place your faith in Christ. It's not about being a part of High Desert Church, it's about being a part of Jesus's Big C Church. And so responding to the gospel is where it always begins. And after doing that, I'll grow in my faith by regularly attending worship services, being involved in a growth group. I'll strive to grow in my giving financially and making tithing a rhythm for me in my stewardship. I'll strive to live Christ-honoring life so that the people in my oikos don't hear one message and see something else. I'll live with that integration of my faith. I'll strive to say no to ungodliness and worldly passions, live a life that is set apart unto God's purpose. Strive to support HGC's statement of faith, theological 10 bullet points of what we think are the most crucial elements of our faith. And then finally, I'll strive to trust the leadership of HCC's pastoral team. I will get under the leadership that God has placed over me in this local church. Those are all the things on the right. Look at the ones on the left. And notice that every box is checked. This is what our church leadership says. We will commit to be this to you. So back to that earlier definition, it is a two-way street. It is a partnership and something that we think is so valuable for you to take a next step in, to be more connected, more committed at HDC. We'd love to make that relationship official. Today, I'm teaching the membership class at 3:00 here at the Victorville campus across the way in Point Discovery. I'd love for you to join us. And going to the membership class doesn't even mean that you have to take that step. It's just finding out, what does it mean to be a member at HCC? What does that look like? We'd love to explain that to you. So you're welcome to join us, even if you haven't registered yet, 3 to 5, Point Discovery. Quick caveat, if you have children, our childcare, though, is already full for the weekend, so you'll need to make another plan. We don't really ever do day of registration, so factor that in. But if you can make it, we'd love for you to come today between 3 and 5 and hear a little bit more about what it looks like to be connected to this church family. Here's the great news, that when we live this way, when we live as not just part of an organization or a religious group, but when we really live like family, the unbelieving people in our relational world take note. They hear the way you talk about brothers and sisters. They watch the way you meet at each other's homes. The things you have to say about people who step into your life and who you get to step towards. Man, they hear that and they go, that's something very different that I've never experienced. They recognize that our love for one another, Jesus said it, by this you'll know, they will know that you're my disciples. And so we want to live that out. We want to make that very apparent to your relational world. In your notes, God didn't invite you to attend his family. He adopted you to belong to it. God didn't invite you to attend his family. He adopted you to belong to it. So, like we've been saying all throughout this series, make yourself at home. Let me pray. Father God, we want to say thank you for your incredible kindness over us. Thank you for this whole wonderful thing you've created called the church, your church. We readily acknowledge it is yours. Thank you for this interdependent relationship that you've given us, brother to brother, sister to sister. We're so grateful for each other and the way that you have orchestrated this local church family. We want to keep living that out, keep honoring your name, keep demonstrating, God, that we are connected and committed to you and each other. You may be here today, and as you heard me say just moments ago, the way you are a part of HCC is it begins with being a part of the Big C Church, responding to the invitation in the gospel. And you would be here today at any of our campuses watching online, and you would say, man, I haven't done that yet. I've never made that step. Well, the great news is there's no barrier. There's no hoops to jump through. There's nothing in the way. Would you A, admit that you're a sinner who needs a savior? Would you B, believe that Jesus is the only savior available? And would you C, choose to bring what's left of your life to Jesus' feet and surrender? Choose to say, Jesus, it's yours, and I simply want to follow you, being led by your spirit, led by your example here and all the way home. You can make that decision today. Enter into the family of God. Father, this week, would there be so many examples of the way that we demonstrate our connection and commitment to each other by the way we love and the way that we encourage and the way that we serve each other. We love you and we pray in Jesus' great name. Amen.